The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Shout out to my man, Carl Jackson, for filling in for me yesterday. Did a wonderful job, as always. Go follow Carl Jackson on social media. Go to his website, thecarljacksonshow.com, thecarljacksonshow.com. There you can find all of the links that are necessary to follow Carl Jackson's podcast and everything involving Carl Jackson. Shout out to Carl. Thank you so much for filling in for me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to start this show by making a declaration and giving you some words of encouragement. I declare that in 2024, we are going to see a success, a delivery on promises like never before from the Republican Party. I'm here to encourage you that this is not the time to give in, to fold up like a lawn chair. This is time for us to fight. It's time for us to stay in the game. It's time for us to go back and watch the film and make a determination of the things that we need to improve on in order to be successful in the future. We will win. If you have God on your side, there's nothing that happens in this life that can be against you. Life doesn't happen to you. Life happens for you. God has allowed the election to go the way that it has gone, and also the 2020 election to go the way that it has gone, for our benefit. The difference is, what do you do with adversity and how do you respond is a clear judgment of how God is trying to teach you something, and whether you learn from it or not is up to you. America needed Joe Biden. Why would America need Joe Biden? Because we need to see how crooked, corrupt, and deranged these individuals are. I told myself I wasn't going to say Republican, Democrat no more. I was just going to talk about issues. We needed Joe Biden as the president of the United States of America so that people can have a clear contrast between America First policies, supporting the police policies, border walls, and security. Someone who understands foreign policy, someone who knows how to negotiate contracts that better benefit the United States of America, someone who make promises and delivers on those promises, in contrast to a man that's falling asleep behind the wheel, literally. A man that don't know where he's at on stage half of the time. Someone who has policies that are so destructive that inflation has gone out of control, gas prices are high as we've ever seen them, and our country is a joke on a world stage. God wanted us to see this contrast, not just us as people of God, but also the rest of the country. There should be no question in your mind today whether or not one party has a solution for problems in America versus the other party. We are going to win. This wake-up call in the midterms is for us to do better, for us to improve, for us to prioritize election and security, for us to prioritize unity within the party. Because if you have a Donald Trump and a Mitch McConnell still bickering with each other, nothing will get done. We will lose, we will lose, we will lose. If you have a Donald Trump and a Mitch McConnell, or Ron DeSantis and Mitch McConnell, coming together, uniting as party leaders, and saying we're going to put our differences aside, and we're going to pursue excellence, because that's what our country deserves, we will drag the other side through the mud. No remorse. I just want us to understand that. We had incredible victories in the midterm. Maybe not the win that we expected, but we also had wins. I look at everything that I think about in politics like football. We played against a D1AA team, and we're ranked number one in the nation. And we barely beat them by a field goal. We should have beat them 70 to nothing, but we didn't beat them by 70 to nothing. We beat them by 3 points, which is a field goal. It may be disappointing that our margin of victory wasn't there. But at the end of the day, did we win or did we not win? When you win, you can always look forward to the next game and the next chance to increase the margin of a victory. The House of Representatives, us taking over the House, was a win. Us gaining seats in Democrat strongholds that we've never had before, in places like Oregon, places like California, in places like Florida, retaining seats in places like Arizona. Even though we didn't gain any government seats, federal government seats, we still retain the seats. We did not lose ground. We need to play off of our victories and make them better next time. If you are waddling around complaining, crying, we don't have a country no more, it's over, the Democrats won, all of the above, if that's what you are doing, you are counterproductive to the movement. And you are not listening to God. God is trying to show us something. And I'll say this. Did we do right by God when we had the House, the Senate, and the presidency? Did we do right by God? I'm talking about the Christians. The ones who believe in prayer. And when the prayer goes your way, you believe God answered your prayer. And when the prayer don't go your way, you believe God did not answer your prayer. We cannot be Christians that are lukewarm and that are haphazard. We have to say, if we pray, God gave us an answer. We believe that our prayers work. There's no way in the world that all these people around the country are praying and praying and praying and God just does nothing for you. The thing is that you need to be interpreting what God is doing. When the prayer don't go your way, you have to look at it and say, it went God's way. And what is God trying to teach us? What should we learn? Adversity is created and allowed for you to improve, not for you to be destroyed. Having leftists take over some of these institutions is not for us to be destroyed as a country, but for us to come together and fight back. And for us to say, enough is enough. We're not putting up with this stuff no more. For us to be able to realize that, hey, they're coming after our children. They're coming after the purity of our children. They're trying to change society and go so progressive that it literally omits God. We need these things to happen so we can wake up. And I'm declaring to you, I'm pleading with you, America, wake up. It is time for us to be stronger, bigger, better than before. It is time for us to interject in a culture war. We have to be involved. We have to fight back. Being woke is not acceptable. And you got to fight back against family members and other people who want you to live in a false sense of reality. And we got to hold up to the principles of God. I saw a young man make a video today, and it challenged me to remember to always put God first and remember that sin is going to be sin, and sin leads to destruction. There's a young kid, and I'm not going to say his name, that I attempted to be friendly with. We were on a panel together, conservatives versus trans, conservative men versus trans men. This person is obviously a conservative, and he considered himself to be a gay conservative. And I felt like I've compromised too much in that area because I let it go and I said, you know what? He do his thing. I don't have to be against him as long as he's a conservative. But this is something I've been telling my wife, and people don't understand this. If you cannot admit as a Christian that homosexual behavior is a sin, you are going down a slippery slope. I don't care if you call yourself a conservative or not. If you cannot admit to that fact, according to the scriptures, you are going down a slippery slope. I'm running out of time. Hold the phone. I'm going to explain what I mean in the next segment.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to who? My listeners. Right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel sets, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December the 25th will now have an extended money-back guarantee through March the 1st. The Giza bed sheets are marked down to as low as $29.99. And believe me when I say you will get the best sleep of your life on these. And they asked me, these what, Brandon? These sheets. Their six-piece towel set is made with USA cotton, comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths, typically retailing for $89.98, and is now $39.98 with my promo code. There's a limited supply, so make sure you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon. Or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Put in promo code Brandon.
Seek and ye shall find. God's got your six. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are having a tremendous sale here right before the holiday. And you better make sure you take advantage of that. The MyPillow is offering having an exclusive offer on the bed sheets and the six-piece towel sets, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December the 25th will have an extended money-back guarantee through March the 1st. The bed sheets are marked down to $29.98, and believe me when I say these are incredible bed sheets. I sleep on them every single night, and they are amazing. The six-piece towel set, we have the towels as well at my house. Six-piece towel sets made with USA cotton, and they come with two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths, typically retailing for $89.98, but now only $39.98 with my promo code. There's a limited supply, so make sure you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Put in promo code Brandon. Let me explain what I was saying about the young man who was considered himself to be a homosexual conservative. And I tell my wife this all the time. I said, you know, we really need to hold people accountable to the words that they say. Because when a man comes to me and says, I'm a Christian and I'm homosexual, that is an oxymoron. Unless you say, I'm homosexual and I'm working on it and I'm trying to get better, I'm praying about it. I know that it is wrong according to the Bible. When you have a person that's saying they're a Christian and they don't even recognize it as wrong, that's a problem. And when you have people that say, I'm a conservative, I'm telling people, when you have a person that say they're conservative and they're also battling with homosexuality, they are going to choose their sexuality before conservative values. The young man gets on and he brags about how the House of Representatives or the Senate, I can't remember which branch of the government or which, I guess, portion of Congress passed a bill to, I guess, make it a law, codify same-sex marriage. It's a slippery slope, ladies and gentlemen. It is a slippery slope. I heard, and I got to do more research on it, but I was reading that the quote-unquote attempted codification of same-sex marriage makes it illegal for pastors to preach against it, makes it illegal for pastors not to participate in marrying couples who are same-sex. Now, if that is in fact true, and like I said, I need to do my due diligence. You can do your due diligence, look it up. If that is in fact true, the cycle of confusion that I spoke about before and the lack and bowing down and compromising on godly principles is going to get us in trouble. I think that, you know, to me, two men getting married is not acceptable, in my opinion. Now, we live in a country where you're free to do whatever you want to do. But also, we live in a country where there should be religious freedom. And that means if a pastor is pastoring a church and you say, hey, sir, I want you to marry me and this other guy, the pastor should say that it's not biblical. Biblical marriage is between a man and a woman. Sorry, you're going to have to go down to the white to a courthouse, or you're going to have to go to a somebody who's not a Christian. But what's going to happen is, it's not just about live and let live. It's the slippery slope of, no, you have to now accept my deviant behavior. And even if you're a Christian, even if you're a pastor, you have to accept what I decide to do in my bedroom. And that's where the slippery slope and the problems come in. And I'm just saying it. I'm not trying to say anything about somebody who want to live an alternate lifestyle. Do you, boo. Have a good time. Live your life. But what I am saying is that we cannot be forcing churches to acquiesce to a person's behavior that's contrary to the Bible. Now, you shouldn't be a pastor and go and hit gay people in the head with a Bible every time you see one of them. But you should be able to implement godly principles in your church, in your ministry. And you know, we've watered it down every year. We water this stuff down to the point that God is going to be removed completely from society. Godly principles are no longer going to be so. We are literally going to have churches where pastors are homosexual. And gay marriage is the norm in the church. And then what is next? We're going to go down the path. And before you know it, every church is going to have an LGBTQ flag flying in their church. And, you know, it's funny even saying this on the radio now. I know that somebody is sitting there cringing. But if you are a Christian, this should not be cringe to you. And when I say these things, and abortion is a part of this conversation that I have, it's not that you go out and attack people, make them feel bad or whatever. You pray for those people. You make an effort to help people. If my son ever came to me and said, Dad, I'm gay, the first thing that I say to him is not going to be, get out of my house. I don't want nothing to do with you. That's not going to be the statement that I have to my son. I'm going to explain to him my position. I'm saying as my son, as an adult, anything under an 18-year-old man that don't live in my house, it's irrelevant what you tell me. However, if my son, an 18-year-old man, come to me and say that, we're going to have a conversation about it. And I'm going to pray for him. And I'm going to explain to him my perspective on it. And if there's any way that I can help him make it through this struggle that he's having, I will do all I can to do that. If that is therapy, if that is whatever it takes, I will be open to help my son through this. If he refused to get help and he want to live that lifestyle, that's totally fine. But I don't participate in that. So you can live the lifestyle. You can go be with your man or whatever. That's fine with me. You're grown now. But just know that I don't partake in that. I don't agree with the lifestyle. And I don't want it nowhere near my house. That's what I would tell my adult son. That's fine, father. I won't do this around you. I respect your space. You respect my space. If I come to my son's house and he got his husband there, that's fine. That's his house. That's his domain. I have to accept what my son wants to do with his life at his house, and vice versa. But nowadays, people are so wimpish, and they feel like they have to acquiesce to everything their children do and say that they won't stand up for the principles of God first. And I want to reiterate this because I wasn't even trying to go on this rant. I got all this stuff right here. I want to reiterate this. If you are a Christian, you need to uphold Christian values. Once you start compromising, you go downhill fast. And in my last 40 seconds of the segment, nobody's perfect. But to acknowledge that your imperfections is to put you on a path of success and help you become closer to your relationship with God. Okay, I'm done with that. And next segment, I may or may not talk about abortions, but I want to get to Ron DeSantis because Ron DeSantis have a plan for the Republican Party and how we can be successful in the future. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Unapologetically Christian and 1,000% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to talk about Ron DeSantis real quick. Said I might talk about abortion, but I might skip on that. Too much meat right now. Maybe put some more milk on it. Some people are probably not ready for the meat. All right, DeSantis offers conservatives a roadmap for how to fight the culture war and win. I really do like the way DeSantis has been leading, especially in the state of Florida. I just really think people should take a chapter out of his book of how to be successful with the media, with your constituency, how to communicate. I mean, people need to take notice to what DeSantis is doing. I know that because of him and Trump had a conflict, all of a sudden people don't like DeSantis. But I mean, when you think of the things that DeSantis have been able to do, I mean, it has been very impressive. I'm just gonna read this one part that illustrates just a few things that he's been able to do. It says that he's passing significant higher education reform, new curriculum guidance for K-12 schools, a ban on gender theory in grades K-3, and the Stop the Woke Act, which restricts critical race theory and racial scapegoating in large institutions, including corporations. And then most notably, DeSantis picked a fight with Walt Disney Company, which had previously been untouchable in Florida's politics, and he won that. I really do think that the way DeSantis have been able to operate and move without being crazy and having to get banned on stuff and talking crazy to people, I mean, he's been able to methodically go through and work these things out and make them better. And I think that's an example of what we need to do in our country. Now, I don't know how DeSantis plays when it comes to, meeting on the other side of the aisle. I think he's been able to run his own state and do a really good job and put a good team around him that creates great success for him. And I feel like that model needs to be modeled even in the White House for the Republicans moving forward. I think Donald Trump needs to take some pointers from the way DeSantis is running his ship in the state of Florida. Some people don't want to hear that, but in reality, I think it's necessary. You can be a fighter. You can challenge the mainstream. You can go in and fight against the deep state, and you can do it in a way in which you can maximize your success without literally creating a war. And I think that we will see that moving forward in our country. And I'll say this, I sure hope we will see that moving forward in our country. Two things I want to talk about with the FBI. The FBI has literally been at the forefront of meddling in elections since 2016. And it was a blessing to read this article about Jim Jordan and the House Judiciary Committee and what they're planning on doing as far as investigating the FBI's involvement and interfering in our elections. I think we've forgotten about how detrimental they've been in the stunts and the antics in which the FBI have participated in that have controlled the narrative in elections. Let me just give you some examples written here right in the article. Jim Jordan, when asked in a news conference, he laid out the GOP investigation's priorities next year. And one of the investigatory elements was the 2016 spying of President Trump's campaign. This was pre-election. In 2016, they spied on his campaign. 2018, the Mueller investigation. Remember that? In 2020, the suppression of information into Hunter Biden's laptop story. And in 2022, the raid of President Trump's home 91 days before the election. These are clear cases of interference from the FBI, from our executive branch of the government, going through and being weaponized to push an agenda that will negatively affect Republicans in elections. This has to come to a stop, and I'm glad that we got the victory in the House, because we are going to investigate. We are going to get to the bottom of these things. And I'm glad that Jim Jordan is leading that charge. I really wanted him to be Speaker of the House. However, I'm not in the House of Representatives, so I wouldn't know. So let me tell you about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works well for me. And I know that there's over 500,000 other people that take Relief Factor, and it works well for them as well. My mother-in-law is one of them. I keep bringing her up because she was taking Relief Factor. We gave her a bag of it before I ever took Relief Factor, because I got it from Sebastian Gorka. And she started taking it. She loved it. And it's been just a tremendous blessing. And so I want you to consider giving it a try. Start with a three-week quick starter for $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. You take the Relief Factor, watch it work, order more. Over 70% of people who ordered the three-week quick starter go on to order more Relief Factor. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor.
We kneel to God and God alone. The Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Illegal drug trafficking has turned our southern border into a war zone. And it's a war that not many people are talking about. That's why I urge you to see Border Battles, the new six-part limited documentary series from Turning Point USA that exposes the sheer evil and the inhumanity of drug cartels and illegal drug trade. It also goes over how the drug fentanyl has been thrusted into our society, causing the worst overdose death crisis in American history. Fentanyl is literally killing tens of thousands of Americans, and I don't see a single person on the other side of the aisle attempting to do anything about it. Border Battles reveal how illegal immigration, human trafficking, and America's drug crisis have only been made worse by decades of government neglect and incompetency. Today's drug cartels are militarized with sophisticated weapons. They are literally fighting wars right at our southern border. Hear directly from Drug and Border Patrol agents about the horrific conditions along the border and what life is really like on the front lines. Also, Border Battle, let me just say it like this. It's a documentary you don't want to miss. I can go on and on about it. But Border Battles, you can watch it now. Six-part documentary series on SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. I want to get back to the subject at hand. Us investigating the interference that the FBI have participated in. The Department of Justice have participated in. When it comes to investigating things and politicizing things that only affect us negatively in one direction. Whistleblowers have come out all over the country, and they come out and gave statements about how politicized the FBI is and the things that they do directly against Republicans. I want to let you listen to the clip from Jim Jordan and his stance on what we're going to do about the politicization of the DOJ. Roll clip two.
The FBI going to quit interfering with elections? 2016, they spied on President Trump's campaign. 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. 2020, they suppressed information about the Hunter Biden story. 2022, they raided the president's home 91 days before the election. Maybe it'd be nice If the FBI and the Justice Department just stayed out of it and let we the people decide who we think should represent us, who we think should lead us, that's supposed to be how America works. So this is the focus on the Judiciary Committee, the political nature at the Justice Department, and the linkage now to what was happening with the Hunter Biden story, again, just 15 days before we have a presidential election.
Now, I totally made up a word before I wrote that clip. I think I said politicization or something like that. It's politicization. I don't know why I can't say that word right. But you know what I'm talking about. I love the fact that he said that. I love the fact that Jim Jordan is a fighter. And I'm really hoping that they follow through with the things that they're saying. I want you to listen to another portion of pretty much the House coming out after winning the victory, coming out and saying that we're going to go through these investigations. This is Representative James Comer and his, statement about subpoenaing Hunter Biden. Roll clip one.
If they don't give you the information, you would then use subpoenas. But are there any discussions, plans to eventually subpoena Joe Biden and or his son, Hunter Biden?
There's no plans to subpoena Joe Biden. There are plans to subpoena Hunter Biden.
And what does that timeline look like?
Well, I mean, you know, if I were Hunter Biden, Pam, I would want to come before my committee and prove my innocence. You know, because I said some things today that should be very concerning to Hunter Biden.
Why then would you not subpoena Joe Biden if this is all about Joe Biden?
Well, it's complicated to subpoena a president of the United States.
But it has been done.
It has been done, and the Democrats sent out subpoenas like junk mail, and that's why it's hard to get people to come in.
Right, I think you got a good point there, but him saying that you can look forward to a subpoena from Hunter Biden, you know, will he answer the subpoena? Will they, you know, go the roundabout way of getting out of this? I don't know, but I know that they're giving an effort. I want to roll clip three as well, just expanding more on this Hunter Biden investigation. Roll the clip.
Committee Republicans have identified over 50 countries the Biden family sought businesses in. On the international side of the Biden family business, the deals were often led by Hunter Biden. And that map there behind Clay shows all the countries where the Bidens had a footprint in international business dealings. The investigation reveals a family that engaged with some of America's most powerful adversaries, planning to sell one of the largest sources of cobalt for electric vehicles in the world to the Chinese, for example. The Bidens flourished and became millionaires by simply offering access to the family. Among the dozens of shell companies the Bidens set up, there were millions of dollars of wire transfers, flights on Air Force Two to conduct personal business, and meetings with heads of state, all while Joe Biden was aware of what was happening. All the while, he turned a blind eye. Many transactions related to these businesses have raised red flags at U.S. banks. A suspicious activity report, or SAR, is a document a bank must file with the Treasury Department when a transaction is suspected to be related to money laundering or fraud or other types of criminal activity. According to media reports, the Biden family accumulated over 150 SARs. One SAR generated by an American bank to the Treasury Department connects Hunter Biden and his business associates to international human trafficking, among other illegal activities.
If people don't go to jail after this, I don't know what to say. You know, the funny thing is, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost like, you know, you plant the seeds and the harvest time has come. They planted bad seeds and there's going to be bad crops that are brought out to the forefront. I honestly believe they never thought in a million years that Donald Trump would be the president. Because that has led to them getting exposed like nobody's business. They figured they'd do dirty deals under Barack Obama. They'll go right into Hillary Clinton and she will bury those deals and she will make sure nobody could ever investigate them ever again. And when she lost, it all hell broke loose on the left, on the Democrat side. Because now they're being exposed for the things that they've done. And I say Hunter Biden is just the tip of the iceberg, my man. Hunter Biden is the tip of the iceberg. The Democrats and some Republicans should be on their way to jail for things that they've done defrauding our country. And I think it's a shame. But I'll say this. We can't just blame the Democrats. I know there's some Republicans that are in on it. we should hold anybody accountable that's defrauding our country and putting us in a negative position. But before I go to the break, I'm going to tell you guys about Peer Talk. And I want you to understand this. There's literally no reason to pay Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile over $80 a month for wireless when you can get the same service on the same network with Peer Talk for half the price. Talk, text, blazing fast data for just $30 a month. Those other guys are making you pay thousands of dollars for their retail stores and the perks that they give and all this other crazy stuff that they're doing for massive profits for their shareholders. They really don't care much about you, and they can't. That's why I believe Peer Talk is the best cell phone company out there. You could get all of this for $30 a month. U.S.-based customer service. The CEO is a U.S. veteran. I mean, you can't beat it. I have my Peer Talk phone. I use it all the time. All you have to do to take advantage of this deal is dial #250, say Brandon Tatum. That's #250, say Brandon Tatum. Welcome back to the Office Tatum Show. Ladies and gentlemen, let me get a couple callers in. I see a few people on the board. I want to go with Gilbert from Walnut, California. Welcome to the Office Tatum Show.
Hello, Officer Tatum. Love your show.
Thank you.
My question is, with this information that you just read off, or somebody you just read off that you played the radio clip, where was this information two years ago that, you know, they're now just bringing it up? I mean, I think the Republicans really need to wake up.
Right. I agree with you, Gilbert. It's very interesting to me. It's like, all of this that they're doing right now, now that they've won the House, I would have thought that they could have put together a press conference before the election and give this very same information. What do you think? Do you think that why wouldn't they give this information before the election?
I believe that there's still too many Republicans that are rhinos that, you know what? President Trump didn't follow the status quo as far as, hey, you know what, telling them what to do, and they weren't happy with it, you know what? So he had people on both sides that were against him.
Right, true. Gilbert, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. Officer.
That's one thing. Yeah, God bless you. Yeah, that was one thing that I thought about. As soon as I saw him come out and do the press conference, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Y'all got all of this information? And we couldn't do a press conference before the election? You know, but there may be reasons why. You know, maybe Republicans couldn't say anything. They knew it wouldn't be investigated, right? Because they didn't have control of the House. So, and, you know, maybe the leader of the House, the Speaker of the House, probably could have shunned it. But maybe with them having control, maybe they can not only talk about it, but now investigate it. Maybe that could be the reason why they're doing it strategically. But, my God, some of this stuff we would have loved to have known before we voted, especially the Hunter Biden laptop. I hope they get to the bottom of it. I hope they get to the bottom of that laptop. And I hope they get to the bottom of how the FBI coordinated with Twitter and other social media platforms to suppress the information. Y'all got to remember that. They suppressed this information that the House Republicans are now doing an investigation into. They came to these social media platforms and said, make sure you stop, yield, suppress people talking about this subject right before the 2020 election. Now, I would argue that a lot of people probably wouldn't have voted for Biden if they knew how corrupt his son was and how implicated he would be in the corruption. I mean, there's a clip. I might find it in the break and show you guys. There's a clip of Joe Biden committing a quid pro quo. That is pay to play. You give me this, I give you this on national television. Hold the phone, y'all. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to start with a couple callers because I think this is right around the subject that I want to talk about, Merrick Garland. What a scumbag. I told myself I didn't want to say nothing crazy about these people, but I can't help it, man. These people are complete scumbags. Let me go with Jose from California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, Officer Tatum. I love your show. I love your Christian values. And I love your passion for this country. So, yeah, like you, I saw that political ad that says Merrick Garland is doing a general commission or counsel to investigate Donald Trump. This is so upsetting. And I want to ask you what you think about it.
Right, Jose, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I think that, you know this is what bothers me about these things, is that when Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, Donald Trump allowed them to do a special counsel against him. Why didn't Republicans do special counsels against them? I don't understand. We had the power. We had the leverage. It could be these rhinos. It's like, no. After y'all done doing a special counsel against President Trump for fake Russia collusion and all that, now let's start a special counsel for Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. We should have been investigating them before the election, before he ever declared that he was going to run, because we knew that they were going to put that old man up there. And this is par for the course. Republicans come out and say we're going to investigate Biden. They're going to come out and investigate Trump. And the problem with this is, and I want us to be very clear about this. The problem is that the investigation from the government into the current president makes sense, because it's called the equal branches of government and checks and balances. Our Congress should be putting forth an investigation if there is allegations that our current president, executive branch, is doing anything nefarious. But for our government to target the candidate that can run against the current president is asinine to me. It's asinine to me. Now, of course, Merrick Garland tried to make it seem like it was balanced in the middle, but his projection and his pursuit is exclusively towards Donald Trump. If this is not weaponizing the federal government, Donald Trump is not a government official. Donald Trump is a private citizen for the most part. He still gets Secret Service protection, but he's a private citizen. You go through and you say he can't have certain documents because they're supposed to be in the presidential archive. But then you want to use the same leverage and power that we can use against the president, against a person who's running against the president. Why don't they do an investigation into Ron DeSantis? Okay. Why don't they do an investigation into Brian Kemp? Why don't they do an investigation into any of these other people? Because they're not front running for the president of the United States of America. And I knew they had a trick up their sleeve. I do not know why Donald Trump announced so early. He should have waited till after Herschel Walker. And then he could announce he was running for president, because I knew as soon as Donald Trump says he's going to run for president, they are going to enact investigations and indictments. I almost guarantee it's going to happen. Let me get to Joe from Sacramento, California. Joe, welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
Hey, Brandon. This Merrick Garland, he is supposed to be the United States Attorney General. He's supposed to be neutral. And I'll tell you what, this guy's been nothing but a flunky and a toady for the Democrat Party. He has not done his job. In my opinion, he's as corrupt as that Gerald Nadler, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi. He's basically been a corrupt. And the first order of business that he should have had would have been to go after Hunter Biden and investigate Hunter. That guy was involved in. So Merrick Garland, he's been corrupt, and he's basically in the pocket of the Democrats, which is not what that man was supposed to be doing as attorney general.
100%. Joe, thank you so much for the call. You are spot on. You know, the funny thing is, I wish that our attorney general under President Trump would have gone after people and done what he was supposed to do, but we play with kid gloves. See, I told you, when they get their people in, they're going to weaponize. They get their people in, they're going full throttle. They're not worried about political correctness. They're going after us. And Merrick Garland should be ashamed of himself. He needs to be investigated because they're weaponizing our country against their political enemies. There is no effing way whatsoever. Now, he claimed that there was a quote-unquote investigation into Hunter Biden. He claimed that not too long ago. He said that they're doing an investigation into Hunter Biden. But where's your information at? Because if the House of Representatives have information that Hunter Biden's financial leverage or financial deals involved in sex trafficking, that he's apparently flags from the banks of suspicious bank transactions, where are you at? To wait till after the election and then talk about Trump after he announced. But what happened to this investigation into Hunter Biden, and why are you not disclosing this information? Okay. I'm telling you, man, these people are crooked, and we got to call it for what we see it or the way we see it. Mario from Philly, welcome to the Off Statham Show. I think we lost Mario. But we have to call these things the way they are presented. Merrick Garland is a political hack. The FBI has been weaponized. It doesn't matter if you like Trump or not. They've been weaponized. They've been weaponized since 2016. When they went after Trump by spying on his campaign, the Department of Justice, spying on his campaign, wiretapping Trump Hotel because of a false dossier, claiming that he has some connection with the Russian government, knowing that it's false, interfering in his campaign, interfering with his presidency, weaponized. Remember Comey? We forget about these clowns. Remember Director Comey? Gets up in front of the world after Hillary Clinton sent and received classified information on a private server that the government did not know about. She's working in the government and didn't even send an email to say, hey, I have an IT person who does not work for the government, does not have a security clearance. He's going to manage a server at my house. What do you think she was doing on the server? You work for the United States government. You have government-issued cell phones. You have connection to whatever resources you need from the federal government. There is no need to have a server that's detached from government connection in your house unless you're doing pay-to-play deals on your server. Same thing that Biden is doing. Same thing that Hunter is doing. Doing dirty deals with the Clinton Foundation, with foreign governments, and you do not want that to be traceable through the federal government. So you had an encrypted server that your communication went through. And when they questioned you about it, you destroyed the server, you deleted all of the emails, and you vanished the evidence with bleach bit. And then they beat the devices and Blackberries with hammers. There's no reason whatsoever should a politician bang their devices to shreds with hammers. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not making this up. This really happened in America. And Director Comey comes out and says, she committed all these crimes, but no reasonable prosecutor will take up on these charges. That's not his job to determine who should take the charges and what is reasonable, what's not reasonable. He did it anyway. And then Trump fired Director Comey, or he quit, or one of the two. He fired him or something happened. I think William Barr asked for him to be fired or something like that. Then they created a special counsel against Trump that Trump could have said, nah, I'm not having it. I disband the special counsel. But Republicans, we're trying to be nice. We're trying to be reasonable. We're trying to say, oh, do your investigation. We know we're not wrong. We should have never did that. We should have said, get out of here. Mueller is not investigating a single thing. I would not have this thwart my presidency. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
The American dream will survive. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm so glad that you're listening. It's funny because my radio show is not a traditional radio show. I'm not even in a traditional studio. I'm literally in my podcast studio making this radio show. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that's watching. I interrupt this announcement, interrupt this program to say thank you. And I love you and I appreciate you. I see you guys everywhere I go, all around the country. People are coming up to me saying, hey, I listened to you on the radio, man. I listened to you the other night. I found you on the radio. And I just want to say I love you guys and thank you so much for supporting me. You're the reason that I'm on the radio. Not because somehow I want to be necessarily. It's because I feel like I need to be. And God has called me to do this, and you guys give me so much life by calling in and supporting the radio show. Just know that. Just know that. It's because of you. Let me tell you about MyPillow. MyPillow is having an incredible sale. You want to take advantage of this, ladies and gentlemen. Black Friday coming up. Christmas is coming up. See, I'm usually a person who procrastinate, and I take forever to buy Christmas stuff. Like, literally, I will buy Christmas stuff the day before Christmas and hope Amazon can ship it for me on my behalf. But you have an opportunity to get some stuff super duper early. There's MyPillow is having a crazy discount, a crazy exclusive offer on the bed sheet sets and also the 6-piece towel sets. And they're even throwing in an offer of an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. So all orders placed now through December the 25th will now have an extended money-back guarantee through March the 1st. Let me tell you a little bit about the bed sheets. The bed sheets are marked down to $29.98, and I'm telling you right now, I sleep on them every night. They're tremendous. They will be an incredible gift if you already have MyPillow sheets. Let me tell you about the 6-piece towel sets. They're made with USA cotton. They come with 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths. They typically retail for $89.98, but now they are $39.98 with my promo code. There's a limited supply, so make sure you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Again, that's 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, put in promo code Brandon. All right, let's get back to the subject at hand. The government is crooked. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and act like only the Democrats are crooked. I think the Democrats have gotten crookeder. They've gotten so crooked, they amass any corruption that could possibly have come from the Republican Party, in my opinion. They've gone up and beyond. You got crimes being committed in front of the world, and they're turning a blind eye to it. All of the theft and corruption in the election in 2020 is just beyond me. Merrick Garland should have been investigating people pulling ballots from up on the boxes. I mean, so like it don't take a rocket scientist to see this. When you have ballots coming from up under tables in suitcases, you owe it to the American people to come out and make a statement. Sit there for 3 hours and explain what we saw, what was done about it, and how this was inconsequential to the election. You can't just say, oh, these election deniers. What are you talking about, man? We've seen it. I know a person who illegally voted in the state of Arizona. That person was reported to the powers in Arizona, and they ain't done jack, you know what? They ain't done nothing. They don't care. This person should at least get charged for committing voter fraud on video. But they don't care. They turn a blind eye to it. And ladies and gentlemen, we got to win so bad that there's not enough cheating that can get these people on, you know, get these people to win over us. Let me tell you some more hypocritical stuff that I think needs to be brought out. Clinton Organization funded a energy project for Warnock for his church after he defended Hillary Clinton. Let me just read this to you. It says Clinton Global Initiative, which is the fraudulent money laundering scheme of an organization, theoretically, or allegedly is the better word. They gave $550,000 grant to Warnock's church that will help mitigate climate change. You know these people dirty. You know these people dirty. Why Warnock's church? Ebenezer Baptist Church. There ain't nothing Ebenezer about that church. Ain't nothing Baptist about his church. When you're a pastor and you stand before your congregation and you point the finger at a woman and say, support her, and she supports abortion with no limit, you are not a Christian pastor. You are a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a Pharisee. You are a person who is a Christian or a man of the cloth in name only. I guarantee you go to Ebenezer Baptist Church, nobody in there getting saved. It's all shenanigans. When you let a person tell you that they're going to give you $550,000 and you're going to begin to acquiesce to whatever they say, you are not a Christian pastor. Ebenezer Baptist Church. You telling me all these churches popping up and in the black community is still struggling. Still struggling. You got 100 churches. And you go up to Stop 6 where I went to school at. All you got to do is go off 820. If you live in Fort Worth, go off 820, get off on Ramey. Now you need to drive all the way up Ramey, make a left, go up to go Stall Cup all the way to Berry. I think I'm saying those streets right. I ain't been there in a while. But if you go up Ramey, it may just be going all the way up Ramey. You go up Ramey, just within a mile radius, I counted 11 churches in 1 mile. Some of them are house churches, people's house with a church sign on it. You got all them churches on one street in the hood, and why isn't the community improving? Because people like Warnock, whatever his name is, people like him are not vested in the kingdom of God. They're not vested in the success of the black community. They're vested in political leverage and power. You could get somebody like Hillary Clinton, who's not a Christian, who don't believe in nothing that has to do with Christianity, and she can give you $550,000 and now you're kissing her rear end all day. These people are not who you think they are. I told myself I was trying to be more united. It's hard, y'all, to look at these people with a D next to their name and to take them seriously when I know the truth. I know what goes on in the inner cities in this country. I've seen it. I know people that still live in the hood. And when you see these politicians that's supposed to be representing the hood come out and talk about climate change, come out and talk about illegal immigration. And when I say talk about illegal immigration, they want to grant status to 11 million illegals. They're not representing anybody in America, let alone the hood in which the people are voting for them to represent. I'm running out of time. I wish I could talk for 3 hours straight. I could. I could do it. I promise. But I'm running out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll talk more about what's going on in the affairs in this country. Hold the phone. I'll be back.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243.
Break it up, break it up, break it up, break down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got Frank calling in. Frank from Texas. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you for taking my call. I listen to your show a lot, and believe me, I agree with a lot of your talking points. But I just wanted to ask you if you had noticed how Maricopa County, that voting precinct, has been gated like D.C. after Trump's election. They even have – I've seen the video on YouTube where people out there kind of questioning, you know, like having a conversation. But yet you have all these heavy armed police officers – on the rooftops, and they're driving their vans around. Like, you've seen it all, how they can, you know, marshal up. I'm just curious, you know, how do you perceive this when they got this armed force around that voting precinct where people just want to have a discussion?
Yeah, I mean, good question. I don't really know why they would do that. You know, I don't know if it's for show, or it's because they believe there's a real security threat, you know, because if people have an issue with the way voting is going, they could begin to bombard the place and kill people. That's a possibility. It's unlikely, but it's still a possibility. So reinforcement to protect people who are involved in government operations, that makes sense. What doesn't make sense is that why they didn't have that on January 6th. That's my biggest question. Did you have anyway, any? You have another question you want to ask?
No, that's just a point to ponder. You know, I mean, is it like these people actually holding something down that they don't want to have exposed? You know, you would think if there would be more transparency. And it's not like the people of Arizona are uprising. There was like a minuscule amount of protesters out there and from all sides, you know. So is it an overreaction to make you believe that feeds into that narrative that we're all a bunch of like extremists here out to blow up the system? I mean, just question. Why can't they just come out in transparency and relax and have this conversation out and open? Because, you know, everybody has questions. So why can't we talk about it? Isn't this the American way?
Right. I agree. Frank, thank you so much for the call. I agree. You know, people are crazy, though. And, you know, you never know what people may do. However, you know, I don't know if it's nefarious. I really don't know what's going on in Maricopa County. You know, they have a lot of transparency. They have more transparency than most. But, I mean, they still count votes. It's just mind-boggling to me. You know, it really hurts the integrity of our election. It hurts the perception of integrity of our election. I think it should be very simple. They should come out and they should do a presentation and explain how does voting work in the state of Arizona so they can have it on record. This is how it works. This is methodically how we count votes. This is why our vote count takes this long. This is the reason we do it this way and not the way that DeSantis does it and counts 7 million votes in the middle of two hurricanes. This is, you know, they need to come out and explain it to us instead of getting defensive. Because it's not just one side that's concerned. I mean, when a third of the machines mess up on voting day, you have to say, it should give you pause and say, okay, one woman that's running for the governor's seat is over the elections. She oversees elections in the state. Katie Hobbs oversees elections. Her office oversees the functionality of the elections. We have had the crappiest elections. It would give pause to somebody to say, well, wait a minute. Isn't this a conflict of interest? She's over elections. Republicans heavily vote on election day. On election day, a third of the machines are messed up. One guy was reporting that the machines were fine until somebody came in their precinct. And then once the guy came in the precinct, all of a sudden the machines aren't working right. And then you have to say, there needs to be a clear explanation, like a standard press conference to explain all of the questions that people have as to what caused the machines to malfunction and what was the length of the malfunction. How invasive was the malfunction? Like, if you put the thing in the machine and it's rejecting the ballots, it's rejecting it because of ink only? Or is there a certain amount of ink on a ballot that caused it to go through? But then when it goes through, it's not reading properly? Because if you have the ballots, some of them go in, boop, they go in, it takes the ballots. And then a lot of them, they reject. 70% of them get rejected, or 30% of them get rejected, whichever way it went. Wouldn't you wonder, like, is the machine malfunctioning or is it an ink problem? If the machine is malfunctioning, then how much of a malfunction is this machine having? Is it just rejecting ballots because that's a safeguard that it has? Or is it rejecting some, counting some, double counting some, not counting some that it accepts in the machine? That's why I think in this scenario, we need to have a recount. We need to have a hand count of the election. So we can determine, is this fraudulent behavior or is this legitimized behavior? Something got to give. And I think that the people deserve answers. And I understand why Frank asked that question. I have the same question. I'm like, what are the odds? One candidate is over the elections and we have a nightmare on election day. And this is when most conservative Republicans vote. It could be just not hypothetical, but it could have just been coincidental. But Maybe one day we'll find out. Who knows? Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. You can't see the gaping hole called
reality. Wanna do it again? He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. In the break, I was just looking this up to make the point. The gentleman that called in, you know, keeps saying we'll never win another election and stuff like that. I mean, I just find it hard to believe. In the House seats that were open in the state of Arizona, there's 9 seats. We won 6 of the 9 seats. And the Democrats already had 2 of the seats. They were incumbents. So we literally won all of our seats in the House of Representatives in the state of Arizona. And our treasurer won by like 200,000 votes. And Abe is really close to winning. I mean, he's down 55 votes. He could potentially win. I mean, we got a lot of Republicans that are winning here in our own state. That's why it makes it hard to say, okay, they cheated in the election. I mean, did they use the machine only to change Kerry's vote? I mean, come on. Like, I just think that Republicans didn't turn out for Kerry. I'm talking about the rhinos. They didn't turn out for Kerry. People can say all they want about cheating on the machines. If all the Democrats won in the state of Arizona, and there were some pretty close races that we ended up eking out, if Democrats won all of those races, or they start flipping a bunch of seats, then I say, oh, wait, there's something going on there. But everybody won. And Blake Masters lost by like 100,000 votes. And if you look at the spending, $75 million compared to $9 million, I mean, Kelly, what's his name? Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly raised more money than every single Arizona Republican in Arizona combined. He raised more than half of the Republicans running for Senate in the country. You can put, if you put Oz and Herschel Walker together, that's still not more than Mark Kelly raised in the state of Arizona. It's probably very close. He raised $75 million. I think Herschel Walker only raised $32 million, and I think Dr. Oz raised about $30 million. That one man raised more than they did in Pennsylvania and in the state of Georgia in 2 Senate seats. And if you go across the rest of the country, it ain't even close. The Republican raised $2 million in Nevada in the Senate seat. I mean, she raised like $20 million or something. He raised $2 million. You know, it's not the machines. It's what we're doing. In 2020, that's a different story. But this election, they don't have to cheat. We cheat ourselves. We don't show up to vote. We think everything is stolen. It's a fraud. We don't understand the division is strong in our party. When Mitch McConnell don't put money into these races, what is that telling us? He cares more about his feud with Trump than he cares about winning elections. Then Donald Trump endorsed Blake Masters, and Blake Masters jumped into the race late in comparison to the other gentleman that was running here that I ended up endorsing. You know, I just think that we have a couple things here that we need to work on our side. Even in Dr. Oz in Pittsburgh, Dr. Oz wasn't the best candidate to run in his race. He wasn't the best candidate. He wasn't the best candidate in Pennsylvania. I think the young lady who was a strong Christian was the better candidate. And Donald Trump badmouthed her, and then he endorsed Dr. Oz, and Dr. Oz took a massive L and didn't even raise nearly the same amount of money as the crazy lunatic who can't even interpret the human voice. You know, and Herschel Walker, we may still win that race if we turn out. The question is it voter fraud in Georgia? Well, Brian Kemp destroyed your girl, the Gap band. He destroyed her. But the problem is that are we going to raise enough money for Herschel Walker to get across the finish line? Donald Trump got a lot of money. Mitch McConnell got a lot of money. There's a lot of billionaires in this race that said they'll never support Trump again, but maybe they can give some more money to Herschel Walker so we can get across the finish line. we really need that victory in Atlanta. And if we put all of our attention there, we got less than a month now, but we got several weeks to pour into that race, several weeks to pour into more commercials, several weeks for people like myself and others to go down there and support him if his campaign allows that. Do we need to knock doors? Do we need to go out and canvass? What do we need to do? There's going to be a runoff election. Herschel Walker can win. What are we going to do about it? There's enough Georgians in Georgia to vote for him. They voted for Brian Kemp. Can we convert them to vote for Herschel Walker? That's the question. I don't know why I feel like I'm talking against a brick wall. That is the answer and the question at the same time. I answered the question. We got enough people in Nevada to vote for their Republican governor, but we did not have enough leverage to get it in the Senate. We have to think about these things, ladies and gentlemen, and be reasonable, and we will win. Let me get a couple people in. Let's see, Dan from Minnesota. Welcome to the Office Tatum Show.
Hello, Officer Tatum. How are you, Officer Tatum? Happy Thanksgiving. I want to just raise the point in Arizona. I don't even know how many hours the machines were down due to the problems with the ballot counters not being able to read the ballots because of whatever the ink issue or whatever the size of the ballot was a mismatch or whatever it was. But we don't know how many people maybe had to go get their kids, maybe had to go to work. So they allocated so much time to vote, and then, they could have conceivably been shut out from voting because they just didn't have enough time to lollygag around the polling place. Personally, I think what they need to do is not a recount, but I think they just need to do the vote over. And I think that would help alleviate a lot of the concerns. I would just bet, because I happen to agree with President Trump, that they need to take computers out of the election process. And I would bet that if you had people just vote paper ballots with no machines, you would see a different result. And if we can't get rid of the machines this go around, I would at least think should be, especially with what's her name, Hobbs, I forget her name, Katie.
Yeah, Katie
the
Hobbs.
One who Hobbs. I would like to see it be allowed because she is the Secretary of State, and it is, like you say, it's the total conflict of interest for her to be running for governor while she's the Secretary of State. I would like to see people be allowed on both sides to at the voters' discretion. Let the voters, if they want to, make it optional, of course, show their ballot to their respective side. And that way it could be tallied as a check on the actual on what it goes through the computer. So that if there's any hanky-panky, they'll have that as a backup.
Yeah, Dan, I agree with you. Thank you for the call. I agree. I mean, that people were waiting for hours. I mean, or hour may be too long. And let me say this, because I can't speak to everybody in the world, but I was saying this for a few weeks before the election, and people look at me like I'm speaking Chinese. I said, do not only rely on voting on election day. Make sure you have a plan. I remember being in Ohio. I remember being in Pennsylvania. I remember being in Arizona. And I think the people that gave me the most pushback was Columbus or Cleveland, Ohio. Gave me the most pushback. I told them, I said, have a plan to vote. Don't only rely on election day. If your state allows you to vote early, vote early. Unless you're prepared for inclement weather or something to go wrong on election day, are you going to stand in line for 2 or 3 hours? Are you going to stand in line for 4 or 5 hours? The turnout is going to be so much so that they may not be prepared. Are you willing to chance it on one day in an hour and a half that you gave yourself to vote? And people looked at me, I'm going to be there. I'll show up. We are patriots. We'll show up. How many people went home in Arizona and never came back to vote? Because they did not allot enough time for them to vote for more than an hour and a half. How many people turned out because they did not want to wait that long? They didn't feel like driving around two or three poll places. Because in Arizona, you can go to a different poll if you want to. But you may go to two polls and they both messed up. People did not listen to me. Me and my wife voted early. We went the day before the election and we turned our stuff in and said, cool, if something happens, we need to cure our ballots. If something didn't count, we can fix it before election day. We weren't going to wait for that one day for them to make a hasty move and we miss out on voting. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
You may not want to hear it, but is it true? The Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. MyPillow is having an incredible sale. Why? Because you guys have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company that it is today, and Mike Lindell wants to give back to my listeners. Right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel set, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December the 25th will now have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. The bed sheets are incredible. I sleep on them every single night. They're marked down as low as $29.98. And believe me when I say, these are a tremendous round of sheets that you can buy for the holidays. Six-piece towel set is made with USA cotton. Comes with two hand towels, two bath towels, two washcloths. Typically retailing for $89.98, but now only $39.98 with my promo code. There's a limited supply, so make sure you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon. Or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Put in promo code Brandon. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I was just reading this. I got to talk about this at the top of the hour on Monday. Is today Friday? Yeah, today is Friday. I got to talk about this on Monday. Democrats spending millions to push Republican candidates in the primary. This is another strategy they use to play us out of our position, and we still talking about the election was stolen with machines. New Hampshire Senate race. The Democrat-affiliated Senate Majority PAC spent over $3 million in New Hampshire's Republican primary targeting GOP State Senator Chuck Morris, who had the backing of popular Republican Governor Chris Sununu. Their funding attack ads helped drive voters towards election denier, they call him election denier, Don Baldock, who lost his race against Maggie Hassan. Think about this. The governor who won endorsed the gentleman, Chuck Morris. He ended up losing to the Republican candidate whom the Democrats supported. Okay. We can go down the list. Another New Hampshire primary. The Democrats serve PAC. Spent more than $500,000 on ads opposing Republican Robert Burns, who aligned himself closely with Donald Trump. Burns lost the Democrat Ann McClain Custer by more than 10 points in the general election. Michigan House, John Gibbs gained attention and Republican primary voters after the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee spent more than $435,000 on an ad calling the Trump-backed House candidate too conservative. Gibbs won the primary against incumbent GOP Peter Meyer, I think it's how you say his name, Meyer, but ended up losing in the general election. Let me go down here. The strategy paid off gubernatorial race to Illinois together with Democrat candidates. J.P. Pritzker, the Democrat Governor Association, poured $35 million into swaying the Illinois Republican primary. Though Trump-backed Republican Darrell Bailey won the June contest, they called it, the far-right nominee was defeated by Pritzker. Think about this. Pritzker and the Democrat Governors Association gave $35 million to get Darrell Bailey into the race so Pritzker can then defeat him. Pritzker even gave money to get this guy in the race so he can beat him. Maryland, Democrat Governors Association spent over $1 million on an ad during the Maryland gubernatorial primary, as well as targeted Republicans and Trump handpicked candidates, Dan Cox, in the general election. Cox got clobbered by Westmore by 25 points. You can see where this is going. Colorado did the same thing. Virginia, they did the same thing. Pennsylvania, they did the same thing. California, they did the same thing. What are they doing, Mr. Tatum? They're outsmarting us. The best thing that we could do as Republicans is say, look, we have a Republican that's uncontested. He's going to win the primary. Let's put our money behind the dumbest Democrat, get them elected, and then we can beat him in the end. I wonder how many people were actually affected by this. And this year, midterm, we broke a record with $16 billion spent in the midterm election. We are our country going straight to hell. How do we spend $16 billion on election stuff? Our country may not even be able to put together $1 billion to help out people who are sitting on the corner smoking crack all day. But we can spend $16 billion getting these fake politicians to run and lose. $32 million raised for Dr. Oz. He lost. Lost. $32 million gone. I mean, of course you wouldn't know who's going to win and lose until the aftermath. But I got to keep these papers because I want to revisit this come Monday and talk about this again. Because to see them working together and doing strategic things in the midterm to get Trump endorsed candidates to be elected and then defeated. Let me just say this. I hope this is telling us something that most people don't want to hear. I think the country has moved on from Donald Trump's rhetoric and Donald Trump. Maybe not you or me, but the country. You and I will vote for Trump 6 times if it was legal. But there are so many other people that cannot stand him for whatever their reason is. And when you have Democrats spending millions to get Trump back candidates into a particular race and then they get dogged out, I don't think this is the machines, ladies and gentlemen. I think that we're not reading the writing on the wall. I don't think that we're being real with ourselves. They see it, we don't see it. They back Trump candidates, and we think that this guy's just winning. They're putting money into him. They know that he's going to lose against a Democrat that's more, quote-unquote, moderate. They've helped frame the Trump idea into a terroristic movement. We know it's not. The everyday person out here with low information voting, doing low information voting, don't know the difference. When they go and parade around and have a January 6th council broadcast to everybody in America, making it sound like January 6th was a takeover of the country. And we know it's bullcrap, but do they know it's bullcrap? Donald Trump they got this term called election deniers. That's a bullcrap term. We know it's bullcrap, but do they know it's bullcrap? These are the things we better start thinking about. Democrats are outsmarting us. I got to give them that. They're paying to promote certain people in elections to win. They're telling us that it's election fraud, so we don't show up to vote. They are out strategizing us. They cheating and they using legal means of ballot harvesting. But anyway, we better come across with the hot sauce and be smarter, or we are going to be struggling. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Need more of Brandon? The Officer Tatum podcast is available on the Salem Podcast Network, Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts. Need more of Brandon? The Officer Tatum podcast is available on the Salem Podcast Network, Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. See, let me bring Bruce in real quick. Bruce from Philly.
Bruce, hey, real quick. I only have a minute, but I wanted to just say, it doesn't matter who you put in there if you don't change the election process. The Republicans are not going to win anyway, so it don't matter who runs.
You mean win in where? The governor's race?
Anywhere.
Georgia?
The president, Trump.
Oh, you're talking about just the presidential position?
Well, mostly that one, but pretty much any of them that are, you know, highly contested, they just cheat to win, and it's just going to be really tough.
Okay. All right, Bruce, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. I would push back on that just a little bit. I think that Georgia would have loved to have Stacey Abrams as their new governor, and she got spanked like a kid making an N on his report card. Y'all remember N's on a report card? I got my son's report card. They don't have citizenship on there. I'm like, well, wait, how was his behavior? Because I remember when I was in school, they had A's on there, B's on there, whatever. Failing was not an option. There was a death sentence for you if you failed a class in school. But if you got an N, it used to be E-S-N-U. E was excellent. S was satisfactory. N was need improvement. U was unacceptable. I got an N one time. My dad came up there. Oh, man. I tried to shame my teacher. I cried. I was, And then when I came back the next day, I was all hurt because I had got a whooping. My butt was still hurting. And I was just looking at her like, "This, look what you did to me. You got me beat because you gave me an N. But I deserved it." How many N's did I get after that, ladies and gentlemen? Zero. I never got an N at all E's. It changed my life, me getting that whooping over that N and citizenship. However, I just think that when you look at it, you say, I don't think that that's necessarily true. They would have loved to have Stacey Abrams. But Brian Kemp destroyed her. He campaigned better than her. They spent the money in his race. The Georgians love him, thought he was a respectful leader. And I think he did a good job. That's why he won. We go down the list. Look at out in Nevada. The Republican won. Look in Florida. The Republicans winning. All around the country, Republicans are winning. It just in some of these places where we did not do well. We did not spend the money, and we didn't live up to our expectations. But I don't think that they have control over our voting. We just have to show up, show out, and do better, and we will win again. Ladies and gentlemen, heading into the weekend, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. Be blessed. I'll see y'all on Monday. I'm out of here. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.